Welcome to the Fandemic. This is a Facebook and YouTube live podcast show that celebrates all the things that we feel are awesome in hopes of spreading our fandom to you. After the live show airs, you can find us on find this show on Spotify, Apple, and anywhere you find audio podcasts. A little later in the show, we dive deep into the hearts of fandoms and celebrate the things we love, from sci-fi to fantasy, movies to TV shows, comics to video games. We explore the universes that have captured our imaginations and made us lifelong fans. Each week, we'll take you on a journey through the realms of awesomeness. Expect passionate discussions, in-depth analyses, things under the bed, and many, many side quests. So whether you're a diehard enthusiast, words are tough today, or just dipping your toes in the fandom waters, the Fandemic is the place to be. I'm the host, the self-proclaimed Emperor of Awesome, Bradley Butin, and with me every week, I have the unverified twin of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Some might call him the final boss. The unverified twin of Dave Bautista in The Head Wrinkles. The unverified twin of Carl Weathers in The Mustache. And the unverified twin of Shamar Moore in The Nipples. Brian S. Dennis.
And this week, the S stands for Pip-Boy. And if you don't know what Pip-Boy is, you're going to find out here really, really soon. And Bradley Butin. Hey, brother, it's been a couple weeks. Glad to be back.
Yes.
So good to see my tag team partner live and living color, because we are the cultural personality. All right, my friend, let's do it to it.
Man, so, do you have any shout-outs? You want to get that out of the way? Want to talk about any shout-outs right now?
Well, I want to give a quick shout-out to my friend Laura Gibson, my friend Mary Francis, and the folks over at Iris. Iris is an organization that assists persons who are low to no vision with accessing things like newspapers, reading materials, where folks can volunteer to read a newspaper. You get recorded, gets edited, sent out to, again, folks that are low to no vision. A lot of folks that don't leave their home very much. You really kind of can fill your bucket, feed your soul, and help a lot of people out there. So I got the honor, privilege, and just honestly a fun time to kind of do a little bit of podcasting, if you will, in another way, another format, and it was really good to do. So I want to give the folks over at Iris, which is located over in Park Fair Mall, if you're in the Des Moines area. But obviously, you know, Brad and I were talking about this before the show. They're always needing volunteers, and we just want to help push that message out there. So if you're looking for a way, and also you can do it from home as well. So if you're looking for a way to give back, feed your soul, and just may put your voice in the universe, you want to work with the folks at Iris, and feel free. We always give our information at the end of the show, but feel free to just put anything on our on any of our socials, and we'll make sure to connect you.
Yes, 100%. I'm going to do it. I got to go to Texas for a week starting next Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then when I come back, we will definitely set something up. Dude,
please you're coming back with the 10-gallon hat. Like, I want you to go full... I want you to go full Walker, Texas Ranger, man.
You know what? I will do my best. I will try my best.
Better yet, go full Walter Goggins Ghoul. That's how you should really roll if you're going to wear the hat.
Dude, that show is so good. I guarantee you it's going to be in our favorites of the week.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Fandemically reviewed. I dropped a bunch of episodes, reviewed a bunch of comic books. Green Arrow, Cobra Commander, Duke, Transformers. I got to get you these books, dude. You got to read the Duke, the Cobra Commander. There's only one issue left. So of those two, it is... These comics are our childhood fantasies. If they could find a way to introduce Thundercats in this, I mean, that's it. That's it. No more. But so good, dude. So good.
One of the groups I follow on Facebook, the Book of Faces, is it's a complete fan site of those 80s Ramen cartoons. So Thundercats, Thundercats, Silverhawks, and the unfortunately not nearly as widely appreciated Tiger Shark. So those ranking shows were really good. I mean, everybody, as you can see my background, most people are familiar with Thundercats, as they should be. Secondarily after that would be Silverhawks. But again, Tiger Shark's really, really good. It was more of a niche show compared to the other two. Of the three, Thundercats was without a doubt the undisputed champ. It is the tribal chief. We will acknowledge it. But at the same time, yes, sir. By the way, before we hop into more of this, we did our WrestleMania preview. Brad, just real quick, we won't go through the whole card, but what were your thoughts on WrestleMania?
I thought it was great.
Yes, sir.
I thought it was great. I think the final matches were fantastic. Yep, I think it did what it was supposed to do. I know we're a week, we're almost 2 weeks after it now, and we're gearing up towards Backlash. But, man, I couldn't be happier. The only thing that I am a little upset about is Rhea Ripley's out for a while.
Yep. And again, for those of you that don't follow wrestling, Brad and I are pretty good hardcore fans. Rhea Ripley is the WWE Women's World Champion. She has a legitimate shoulder injury that required her to, number one, vacate her title this past month. So it'll be a week. We record on Sunday evening, so it'll be a week tomorrow. And then she's going to be out for a little bit. And I love the way they actually gave her a, number one, she didn't do the tearful send off. She did what she should, like, I'm pissed off.
Yeah.
And when I come back, everybody's going to be on notice. Number two, then they gave the Judgment Day, which I think we, with the draft, we may see some shakeups on membership, but I definitely think they're moving towards the Judgment Day being more baby faces.
I hope so.
I especially like Dom and JD, they're going to be heels because that's what they're good at. Like, one of them come across. Finn's been a baby face before. He could be a good tweener. Totally Damian Priest. Once he probably gets through a couple contenders, I can see them turning him. But he and Rhea, there's a strong family that wants to cheer them. They both already kind of get, especially Rhea, already gets cheers. And regardless of this, we move on to our favorites of the week. When she comes back, it's going to be a baller. But let's also take a moment and just appreciate Liv Morgan giving us what Liv gave us.
Did you podcast yet?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hey,
I hear a cameo.
Well, yeah, go ahead, talk. Do you want the headphones?
Hey, sure.
Hey. Right.
You can take my headphones.
Go ahead, talk.
Put these on.
I don't know. No, it's fine. Just why not? Talk.
Hi.
Hi, Princess Leia. How are you?
Good.
What have you been up to?
Nothing much. I've just been chilling at home all day while these people have been out.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah. And then fair. I was made to take a shower today.
You were made to take a shower.
I was made to take a shower.
Well, here's the deal, just from Uncle Brian.
It destroyed my curls.
When you usually want to take a shower far before other people make you take a shower. Just a general rule.
It's only been 4 days since I've showered though.
Shower should be a daily occurrence.
No, I mean, if it's this boy right here, then it should, because his hair gets nasty.
Well, like,
it gets to the point where it can stand up on its own.
Well, maybe you both should like get better shower schedules. But anyway, I'm sure you're looking lovely and smelling lovely today.
I saw the movie Abigail. The horror ballerina movie.
How was it?
It was really good. After it was about a vampire ballerina who tried to kill people, who trapped people in this house to kill people.
Wait, there was a movie about that when you and me and your dad were younger. It's called White Knights. It had Mikhail Baryshnikov in it. So
was it back in like the '80s?
Why you got to say the 80s like you're so far, far, far away?
Because they were like 50 years ago.
Okay, I want to talk to your dad.
All right, you say bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I want to talk to you anymore.
He's a Gen X.
Yeah. I want to talk to your father now. I like him better. I enjoy you. But, yeah.
thought yeah. you said you liked me better than him.
Well, up until fun. That, until right now, you've blown it. You've blown it.
Say goodbye.
Bye-bye,
princess.
I have to go get my popcorn anyway.
Yeah.
So when she dropped the 50 years thing for the 80s, I told her I no longer liked her.
It's just, I'm a Gen Z.
She needed to give me back the headphones. So.
Wait, was he born after? Was he born before you?
We're pretty close in age.
Yeah, but is he older than you?
By a little bit. Okay, go do your thing.
Wow, she just really did. She giggled as she, you know, yeah. So yeah. By the way, if they when they come out with season two of live action Avatar, your daughter could totally be Ty Lee, and she just like, you know, skips away after just breaking your heart. Like that's totally how Princess Leia rolls. All right,
I agree. I 100% agree.
Yes, sir. All right, sir.
Man. Favorites.
All right, so let's get to our favorites. I have been remiss. I haven't gotten out to the movie. I haven't even seen Ghostbusters Frozen Kingdom yet. However, I've got multiple shows that we'll probably, after you do yours, we'll probably get into a little bit deeper. So three of my, by the way, you asked me earlier about Rebel Moon. I tried getting into it. I want to so much. Yeah. I can't get into it. But the ones that make my favorites are, and especially because all of them have fantastic, at least as of this point, the last episode of each one of these have been fantastic. So X-Men 97, Invincible, and Fallout. They've all been incredible.
I need my headphones back.
And the Bad Batch. Did you get a chance to watch Bad Batch yet?
About halfway through Bad Batch.
Yeah, the newest episode is it's just a filler episode, but they're getting ready to go pretty hardcore. And then we got March, you know, May the 5th coming up. But
yep.
Yeah, dude, we have to talk about X-Men 97 for a minute since you brought it up.
Dude. So they've done everything right.
That dude back.
Yes, with everything, 100%. So with X-Men 97, if you're not watching it, for those of you that are old like Brad and I, that has to remember when the original X-Men the Animated Series came out in the 90s, that ended in 97. See how X-Men 97? Where this is a complete continuation. It really picks up more or less a few months after the original series ended. And the way they've handled the air thing, and done so much, and I mean this as a positive, it is so not Wolverine heavy.
Yeah.
Like, thank Wolverine is God. Honestly, yeah, Wolverine, and this is no shade to the writers of Wolverine, the creators of Wolverine, Hugh Jackman plays Wolverine. Mm-hmm. For a lot of reasons, Wolverine, along with Spider-Man, are probably the, before the most recent renaissance of the MCU, prior MCU, the two most popular individual characters in Marvel probably were, well, number one was Spider-Man.
Oh,
number always. Two was probably Wolverine. Yeah. And there's lots of reasons. He's a great anti-hero, came to prominence in the 90s, all those things. And again, when the movies came out in 2000, Hugh Jackman did a great job, but what they've really done is focus this on Magneto, Cyclops. They did what the movies always struggle to do. They handled the Phoenix well.
Yeah.
And of course, Gambit and Rogue, who give them their flowers, totally deserve this.
Yeah.
And Storm. And one of the characters I'm a huge fan of that never gets a lot of play. He's always a secondary character, but they gave Forge some really cool things.
I agree, man. Like the last two episodes, I'm a big Gambit fan. He's one of my favorite X-Men. Wolverine is too, but
that Genosha episode probably hit you where you live then.
Oh man. Yes. There was definitely a little bit of ocular perspiration during that episode.
Yes, sir.
And well-deserved, but, and then with the newest episode, I wanted to see that. I wasn't mad at what we got.
Yes.
By any means. But I was like, okay, we're going to find out the aftermath of Gambit. And then, oh, wait, we're going to do this. Yeah. Yeah. Let's do this. Because, you know, you can't keep Storm down for very long.
Right. The other part of it is, I mean, one of the things that they did very well is they do a good job of interspersing multiple storylines. So once we got past the first couple of episodes, that as they should have been, X-Men, meaning X-Men proper, who's going to lead the X-Men. I love the fact they keep bringing in who really, based on my X-Men, right? They come to be my X-Men, and they use that with, again, so we don't have spoilers. You hear Cyclops reference it. You hear Magneto reference it. You hear another person reference it if you're not caught up with most of the episodes. But, and they, again, it makes Cyclops feel legit badass, which he's supposed to be. If he's supposed to be your field leader, he should be able to hold his own. And they have redone that with this one. And I love that they gave, again, baby spoilers, in the episode where Storm has her mishap. They do a great job of her talking about, you know, she can't feel the breeze. She can't feel the moisture. And later on that same episode, she got startled by a clap of thunder. And while it's a small thing, if you control the elements, it would never surprise you.
Yeah.
So just those little pieces.
Such and a of great course, moment.
And again, we can talk about all the little things they've done. I love how they handle Morph. Mm-hmm. He was one of my favorite characters from the original animated series. Then, you know, he came and he went away. And they did great little bits. And then I'll hush on it is, number one, they give you a multitude of villains. You've got Bolivar Trask. You've got Henry Garrett. You've got Mr. Sinister, one of my personal favorites. You know Magneto's not done being an angel. All those things. About. And by the way, if anybody, based on that Genosha episode, if anybody's still going to show back up, you know who it's going to be.
Yep. Yep.
But I also hope your boy makes a comeback as well somehow.
Cables involved, so time travel. You can't keep a good gamut down.
And they did something that they've not done before: is they gave us the Cable origin story.
Mm-hmm.
We've never in all the animated shows, all the animated movies, all the live action movies. They've given us Cable, played by Josh Brolin. Never gave us the Cable backstory.
Yeah,
and. You know, partly because when he showed up in Deadpool 2, X-Men was still kind of in a weird place. Can you really go there? But this one gave us all the backstory and gave us Madeline Pryor. And it did, and Madeline, that Jean Grey, sometimes her backstory and her story like be super complicated.
Yeah.
And they did a great, concise way of capturing one of her pivotal moments. So I've absolutely loved it.
Yeah, it's one of the best things out right now. Have you watched Under the Bridge?
No, someone else was suggesting it to me. Under the Bridge. Is that on Peacock or what is that? Or is that
on Hulu?
It is on Hulu. Okay.
Yeah, it's on Hulu. I think the next episode comes out here in a day or two, but it's really good. There's two episodes out. It's deep. You actually want to watch it. I mean, it's got I can't think of her name. Lily Gladstone from and then Riley Keough, who's been in some stuff as well. But they're great. So great. It's a good watch. You'll love it.
I do got to share one thing. You and I agree with most things. I do got to say one thing that I don't agree with you. One of your reviews. I actually really dig Tracker. I was a late coming to watching Tracker. Mm-hmm. I finally was scrolling through Paramount Plus. Yeah, I just catch him on Tracker, and I kind of dig it. I know for you, it's not been your favorite, and that's perfectly fine. It's like Supernatural without the supernatural.
Yeah,
you know, he's driving to all these kind of rural places. He's like Murder She Wrote meets Supernatural.
Yeah, I buy that.
This kind of does this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm following it. It's not my have to show.
Sure,
but my biggest problem with it is his
handlers.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what they call them. But
they don't make sense to me.
Okay,
you know, I don't buy them as a lesbian couple. I don't. I mean, it's just like I feel like they're forcing it, and it's just like all right, cool, whatever. You're good actresses, sure, but. The lower amount of airtime that they get or screen time they get, the more I like it. So, you know, win-win. So, watch Tracker. It's still in the middle for me. We'll see how the season ends up.
Fair. Did you also hear the tragic news, sir? So Help Me Todd was canceled.
I did. I almost messaged you about that.
I kept seeing it. It kept showing up on my Google feed. And I'm like, yep. I'm not going to read the story. I'm not going to read it. And then finally, the story, hey, So Help Me Todd's been canceled. Like, crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is tragic. I hope somebody picks it up. Or hope it's got enough of a fan following that we can, you know, reverse the trends. Mm-hmm. I understand ratings are ratings. I think it's a really good show. It will probably be one of those shows that if it was on cable, would get more legs, put it on a network. But I mean, I told you before, it gives me a lot of psych vibes. Mm-hmm. That if it was on USA or TNT or FX or like that, probably would be a very highly rated show. Mm-hmm. If it was a streaming show, probably really good. But if you put it on one of the big three networks, there's higher expectations. I get it. And, you know, but we shall see. We shall see.
Nice. There is another show that we probably should talk about a little bit. It's listed one of my favorites.
Let's do it.
Fallout. So I'm only a few episodes in. I have not finished the series yet, man. I can't devote all my time to it until after Warrior.
Bro.
But I'm on episode 3 right now. So good.
Bro.
Tell me about it.
Bro. Okay, short and sweet, so no spoilers. This is what Halo should have been. Number one.
This
is what Halo should have been. I guarantee you this. Whatever they call the sound editing category for the Emmys, which I think is exactly what it's called. The way they intersperse the music from the 50s is in all these things where at one point it can be same song. It can be really uplifting and happy to other same song. Tragedies, how they change where they play it and the things that happen around it. And Walton Goggins, who you know him, he was one of the villains in Ant-Man and the Wasp. I think he stole the Hateful Eight. And then he was on a really good show, short-lived, a really good show on CBS called The Unicorn. He's an excellent actor. You probably, once you see him, he's got this very noticeable Southern accent that he can't lose if he tried. And he plays a character called the Ghoul. And just as his story grows, and I know you said the episode 3, the more you find that, the more of the flashback scenes where you get the world pre the bomb and the world now in the 219 years, it's done. And they just have such, and I meant to write a list, but they have people that are one and done's throughout every episode. Like the budget for cameos in this show is just tremendous. I don't want to spoil it for you, but I will tell you, number one, if you already didn't see it, it's been renewed for a second season. And by the way that the season one ends, trust me, as people are like, you damn well better get a season two. It gave you a perfect way to end it and gives you, I mean, there's layer upon layer upon layer. And let's give it up to our girl, Leslie Uggams. You know, as Blind Al from Deadpool. She also started a career in the miniseries Roots. She is just a phenomenal, and has had a great second, third, fourth career in a lot of these sci-fi action movies and series. And she does a great job. So all I can say to you, my friend, beyond what I already said, is catch up. It is well. Now, the episodes are long. They all are easily an hour. And they have some that are beyond that. And they pack it in. But it is done just so well. And I'm so excited for season two. And I know they also announced that season two of Twisted Metal is coming. I didn't hear a definitive date, but they have confirmed that season two is coming. And so for the folks that are behind Halo, Twisted Metal, and especially Fallout.
Yeah, and we're getting the God of War, too.
Yes, they are how you do video games.
Yeah,
Last of Us so movies, and they're done well. And I mean, and the acting. Before I finish up, yes, Fallout's got lots of gore and blood and guts and fighting and shooting and all the things, but it's all carried by really, really, really good acting, and that's what you want. So I can't wait for you to catch it. We can unpack a little bit more, my friend.
I really want an Elder Scrolls now.
Mm.
Elder Scrolls. I
got Elder Scrolls right over here, bro. Yeah.
It's got to happen. I mean, the man made by the same studio, Bethesda. So,
yep.
On that same note, did you read that Margot Robbie is now committed to do a Monopoly movie?
You were telling me that that one was coming out, but I didn't know specifically it was Margot Robbie attached. Well,
yes.
So, you know, she's got, number one, she's got the name recognition and also has high quality standard things that she does. That could be really good.
Maybe we should send her our Monopoly movie pitch episode.
I like it.
Yeah.
Now, is she, and I don't know if this is valid in the story, is she interested in producing the movie? She wants to be in the movie.
I think she's gonna star in it too.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm curious how that man. I mean, we all know Mr. Moneybags or whatever. That's always called a character. That's his legit name. Mm-hmm. But you know, unlike Clue and some of the others, it's kind of a from a person standpoint. Monopoly's kind of got one character in it, right? So I'm curious how they would expand. I'm sure they'll do a good job of it, but I'm curious how they would expand that to include an actual cast. But
yeah. And then any other TV shows that we need to talk about?
One last one, which is Invincible. Again, done really, really well. And all the things. And what I like about season two more than season one is so much of season two is speaking about the depth of the universe around them. So and they give a lot of depth to Rexplode, Duplicate. Mm-hmm. Immortal, Alan the Alien, all these folks. So are you caught up? Because they haven't had an episode in like a couple of weeks. I don't know if you're caught up.
Yeah, I'm caught up. If there hasn't been a new episode in the last week or two, yeah, I should
correct, be caught correct. Up. There have not. So Invincible, and honestly, had X-Men 97 and Fallout not been as incredible, where, I mean, we would talk about how great this season of Invincible. So this is not an Invincible hasn't been really good. It's just hard to compete with X-Men 97 and Fallout. It is just really hard to compete with. Those two especially are doing some rarefied air as far as just being great shows. And obviously, in an upcoming season of both Rings of Power and House of the Dragon, those are coming up soon as well. So we are set for all the binging very soon, my friend. All right.
Yes. And I'm going to check one thing out. So
do you think, bro?
Girl who plays Duplicate. Do you know who voices Duplicate?
I do not know who
voices Duplicate. Oh, man. I'm looking her up right now. Maybe. Where are you at? Have you watched Ghost at all?
Oh, yeah. Big fan of
Ghost. I just got into that show.
It's really good. It's really good. It's really good. I usually, when something's based on a UK show, I try and watch the UK version as well. The UK version's okay. I don't think it keeps up well with... I think the US version is much better. I'm sure I'm biased regarding that. But I was such a huge fan of iZombie. So the star of... Ghost was also the star of iZombie, so that also is another reason I really like Ghost as well.
Anyway, it'll come back to me later. Anyway,
right, no worries.
So, a couple movies came out.
Yes, sir.
Well, Godzilla X Kong.
Yep.
Fantastic. But this weekend we had The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
You're there.
Dude, it's great. It is fantastic. I was in the movie, and the entire time I'm like, dude, Brian, I need to watch this.
We're totally going to connect on that one then.
It is It's fantastic, man. So good, so good. I can't wait to watch it with you.
Gotcha.
You will be giddy through a lot of the movie.
Gotcha.
It's Guy Ritchie in his Guy Ritchiness. It's, man, I feel bad because I haven't even watched The Gentlemen yet. There's just so much stuff to, there's just not enough time.
Yeah.
But, man, like, The Covenant that came out, what, 2 years ago now?
Yeah. Sounds about right.
It is still one of my favorite movies. I was in my top five, I think, for last year. Such a good movie. Such a good movie. Another Guy Ritchie movie. But yeah, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. Amazing. And then Abigail. Abigail was this super fun, gory mess of a movie. It wasn't really scary, but I liked what it did.
Okay.
There wasn't really a ton of jump scares. You knew what was going to happen, you know, and they definitely played with what they had really, really well. Watch it. You don't necessarily need to see that one in the theaters. It's fine, but definitely give that one a watch when you get a chance. So,
all right. Leia referenced it, so I take it it wasn't too scary for her.
Yeah. Part of me was like, okay, so this is a 12-year-old girl vampire. I have an 11-year-old daughter. I must take her to this.
Have you, on the heels about the young vampire, are you familiar with, there's both a, I want to say Swedish, but I could be wrong on the country of origin. But here in the U.S., Chloe Gates Moretz and Let Me In.
Have such you seen a good that? Movie.
Yes.
Oh,
that,
man.
That is fantastic. I mean, it's kind of a modern day, and going back to way back in the day of Interview with a Vampire, Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt, so Louis Lestat and Louis, but little Kirsten Dunst, you know, I want some more. That was authentically terrifying. To the point that when she kissed Peter Parker in Spider-Man, I was really afraid she was going to turn him. Like, you know, like, do we need a vampire Spider-Man? Is that what we're going to get?
Yeah.
Okay. So hearing both from both Let Me In and Abigail, I mean, kids as vampires. By the way, I get the feeling you may have watched it when it was out, but if you're looking for, and I know I always suggest part of the thing for you to binge, but if you get a chance to watch either the UK or US, they are both equally good versions of the show, Being Human. They are fantastic.
I love Sam Witwer. Sam Witwer is one of my favorite actors.
Okay.
Such a good actor. Awesome. Yeah, I thought it wasn't the person I was thinking of. I was off on something. But mystery solved. I may not have been all the... had all my facts together.
You're fine,
no
bro.
Worries.
You're fine.
No harms, no foul. Any other movies that popped up that we should talk about at all? I think
those are I watched The Bricklayer. Really good. Really good.
You know what? I put that on my queue.
Similar to The Beekeeper, not quite as good. Aaron Eckhart. I mean, this is not going to... No spoiler alerts. So Aaron Eckhart is a former CIA operative who got out of the game, and guess what? He's a bricklayer, and through things that happen, you know. Oh, there's a rogue agent who you used to work with. So you're the only one that can stop him. So Dunger, it's got a lot of those tropes and formulas that you see, and you know what's gonna happen. It's not gonna shock you,
yeah,
but it's still done really well. And I mean, within the first, and it's one of those movies that also they give it a flashbacks of how do these two really know each other? Because they do the unnecessary thing of you need to clean up your mess. You know what you did.
Yeah.
They speak cryptically about things. There's no reason to be cryptic about. Everybody knows what they're talking about. Like, I'll be like, so Brad, you know, your child or children who I will not mention their names, even though you are fully aware of who they are, like is that sort of thing. So to quote, give you like some mystery, and this supposed to be a big shock No, if you've watched any James Bond movie, the Beekeeper, mm-hmm. Mission Impossible, Kingsman, all these Hitman's Bodyguard, all these types of movies, you know where the story's leading you. It's still worth a watch because it's still done for everything that's predictable. It's still done well. It's still good. Done well. So Bricklayer again. Think about it as and there's a reason why things show up on Netflix when they show up on Netflix. It truly is a poor man's Beekeeper. Still not bad. I mean, and Aaron, you are the Aaron Eckhart. Other than when his face is half melted off, is a poor person's Jason Statham. But Aaron Eckhart does a good job here.
I'll definitely check it out at some point. Once my queue clears up a little bit.
I feel you.
Right. Because I know now we're knocking on Star Wars Day. So
yes.
I'm pretty far behind in a lot of Star Wars stuff of my rewatch. But
yeah.
That's okay. Brian.
Is there?
When we talked a little bit about WrestleMania and update, do we want to revisit that at all?
Well,
or did we say everything?
Well, I mean, we can run down the card, but I think for right now, how about we do this? So give me your, in fact, let me pull it up. So we'll talk about our favorite matches from each night since WrestleMania is tonight. And then maybe your least favorite. So I'll pull the card.
Okay.
Give me 1 second for that to pull up for me. And by the way, you and I were texting through the event. I shared then that we, as fans, and you know, WWE, if you're listening, and we know you are, they should hire us as writers because we were pretty spot on our prediction and how things, especially I noticed when we said what we thought should happen. We were pretty spot on in them making a lot of the right decisions on what should happen. I don't think there was any match that I watched that I was like, yeah, that outcome was crap or whatever. I mean, some matches were better than others. I also think it took a couple of matches you and I both had really low expectations on and made them as good as they were going to be. So here's how it worked out. So Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley retained. Gunther versus Sami Zayn, Sami won. The Judgment Day versus I'm gonna come back to that one. Jimmy versus Jey Uso, Jey won. Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi versus Damage Control, which is Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane, who are the Kabuki Warriors as a tag team. Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi won. The LWO Latino World Order, which there's more coming with that, definitely, versus Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio. The LWO won, and then of course the main event, which is the Bloodline versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Freaky Rollins, which the Bloodline consists of The Rock and Roman Reigns won. So for night one, which of those was your favorite match?
It had to have been Rock Roman with Seth Freaky Rollins and Cody Rhodes.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. My personally one would have been Sammy and Gunther, just because I think that match worked out really, really well. And by the way, Gunther will not only go down with the longest title reign, but of course, six. I was like, they couldn't have planned that, which is probably why I was on night one and not night two. But the Bloodline versus Cody and Seth Freaky Rollins was also really good. And the match happened the way it needed to happen, which is the Bloodline needed to win to set up night two. So of those matches I talked about, so Rhea versus Becky, Gunther versus Sami Zayn, the tag team match, Jay versus Jimmy, the six women's match, which is Bianca, Jade, and Naomi versus Damage Control, LWO versus Dirty Diamond Santos, and we already said Bloodline versus Cody and Rollins. Which of those was your least favorite match?
My least would probably was Jade, Bianca, and
Naomi.
Naomi against the Kabuki Warrior or Damage Control.
Yeah,
it was really predictable, and it did what it was supposed to do. It was just supposed to cover a few minutes. We knew who was going to win from the
beginning. Put a spotlight on Jade. It was
exactly.
Put a spotlight on Jade, and they've continued to do that on SmackDown as well. I think it's setting up, you've been watching SmackDown or Raw post WrestleMania, it's setting up Bianca and Jade versus the Kabuki Warriors. My thought is at some point, Jade and Bianca, number one, they have similar skill sets. It's kind of redundant to have them both be baby faces. Mm-hmm. As we've seen, Bianca during her time in NXT was a heel and a really good heel. Jade Cargill was a heel somewhat in her TNA. And I personally think Jade drifts more naturally a heel. Bianca can be a heel. But I'm thinking that most likely you see either when Bianca and Jade challenge the Kabuki Warriors, as they're going to, either one of them turn in. My guess is with all the push they're having to make Jade Cargill a babyface, it'll probably be Bianca turning on Jade, either during the tag, somewhere around that initial tag match, or if they win the belts and then when they lose them, some type of heel turn. But I think Jade's first big feud as a single is going to be her and Bianca. Mm-hmm. And I think they're probably, and I see them build into that for either SummerSlam or Survivor Series.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like it.
For me, my least favorite match was the LWO versus Santos and Dom.
I changed mine. Yep, that one's it.
I mean, it got us Andrade in there instead of Dragon Lee, which we actually call that. It should be Andrade. But also, I think what this is also building to is Carlito turning heel, because who attacked Dragon Lee? And they're kind of doing what they did with Hulk Hogan back in the 80s, is that everybody that Hulk Hogan made friends with eventually turned on him. Everybody that Rey Mysterio's been making friends with, first his son, then Santos, and then what I think is going to be Carlito. But if they turn Carlito heel, give Carlito better interest music. The whole, rumba thing or whatever, it's probably horribly insensitive of me to call it a rumba. But they need to give him different music. Mm. But I think what this is totally building towards is Carlito is going to be the person that attacked Dragon Lee, which is going to build up to maybe a Rey versus Carlito. And what I think they should do, even though I have no idea how long Rey Mysterio intends to wrestle, that would be a great time to do a loser leaves WWE match. To have Carlito win. The LWO isn't doing anything right now.
No.
You could have Carlito beat Rey. Rey has to leave SmackDown. You bring Rey back in 6 months on Raw. That puts him on the same brand as Dom. You could have some, assuming they don't move Dominic. You can have some kind of interplay with that. And possibly even at that point, maybe turn the LWO heel. Selena Vega's been a heel before. Cruz and Del Toro were heels when they were with Santos Escobar. Possibly that's a better deal to maybe give them some traction, is make the LWO heels. Mm-hmm. The final testament is on NXT now. So I think you either move the LWO, maybe the NXT, or make them heels. And move Rey over to Raw, where Rey can be a heel, babyface. He's been a heel only in WCW. He's always in WWE been a babyface. Put him over there and let them try and salvage something. Because you got a lot of talented athletes. The faction just isn't. People hear LWO and they think NWO. Maybe in with El Legado del Fantasma. I mean, you just got too many. And maybe that becomes a big LWO. I don't know, but they got to do something with LWO. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm still saying that LWO didn't attack Dragon Lee, so let's make it Carlito. Let him be a heel. That's what he's naturally better at. And let them do their own thing. All right, so let's run to night two, and then night two, was also Seth freaking Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. Drew wins the title, followed by the cash in by Senior Money in the Bank Damian Priest after a lot of extracurriculars by CM Punk. Which I didn't think that elbow is maybe better than what we're led to believe, because he did a lot of work with that arm both then and on the Raw after WrestleMania. Io Sky versus Bayley, with Bayley winning that title. LA Knight, versus AJ Styles. LA Knight winning that one. I'm kind of curious about your boy LA here in a minute. Logan Paul versus Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens. Logan retains by pinning Kevin Owens. The Pride, Lashley, Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford, who are the Street Profits, along with B-Fab, taking on the Final Testament, their last action before. They're tapping on NXT, but AOP you'll see in some tag matches on SmackDown. But that is comprised of Karrion Kross, Ackerman, Rezar, with Scarlett and Paul Ellering, and then Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. I think we both will agree, best match of both night two and best match of the card, as it needed to be, was Cody versus Roman Reigns.
Yeah. I mean, we get to see The Undertaker.
We got to see The Undertaker. We got to see John Cena. We got to see Seth Rollins and his Shield regalia. We got to see all those things. They did a great job of writing off Seth for a while. Seth Rollins, and they did a great thing I've also heard, is just talking about how purposely functional that locker room is. You know, Seth is going to be off TV for a while to give his back and knee a chance to heal up. Roman's going to be off TV for a while. The Rock's going to be off TV making movies. We've got Tama Tonga, who debuted. There's rumors that Jacob Fatu, who is if Jeff Hardy and Umaga had a baby, is who this guy is. So there's so much to be done with the storyline of the bloodline, but really writing them off. So since we both have agreed on what our favorite match is, for night two, and all of these I think were really good matches, but for night two, which one was maybe your least favorite?
Man.
I give you a rundown again. So Seth versus McIntyre.
No.
EO versus Bayley.
No, that was really good.
LA Knight versus AJ.
Yeah.
The U.S. Yes, sir. The U.S. triple threat match was Logan Paul, Randy Orton, and Kevin Owens. The six-man tag, which they did all the O's to Philly in that match, and then obviously the main event. So we know it's not the main event. So what are those others would be? And they don't mean they're a bad match compared to the others, man. Which was your least favorite?
I'm going to have to go AJ and LA Knight. Yeah.
I got
to
agree with you. I agree with you.
I mean, it's, this is the worst of a bunch of really good matches.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. The only thing that I agree with you, especially the six man tag match should have been the worst match, but when it brought out, you know, Snoop on commentary, who was drunk as hell, and probably was also a couple other things, and he didn't hold anything back.
Yeah.
And then having Bubba Ray as a special referee, and he did it through putting on a glass and grabbing a table and all the things. They played to the ECW. By the way, if you didn't watch the Hall of Fame, which induction ceremony, which was mostly forgettable, if you have not watched it, watch Paul Heyman's induction speech. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Heyman's induction speech, if you watch it, is great. But Paul Heyman's induction speech was fantastic. But then I'll agree with you. And also because they did this. So you had LA Knight beat AJ Styles. And then this past Friday on SmackDown, AJ beat LA Knight. So AJ is going to be in his first. By the way, whoever's facing Cody first is going to lose, right? I get that. But I think you could have made it AJ. And AJ and Cody have a lot of history. AJ was one of the matches Cody wanted to have when he left the WWE years ago. In fact, one of the first matches, one of the first matches Cody Rhodes had after leaving the WWE, and one of the last matches AJ Styles had before going to the WWE or against each other. So there's a lot of backstory there. So the match is going to be great at Backlash. It's going to establish a new champion, which is also good. By the way, I'm so glad they have I don't know if they officially announced anything, by the way, to everybody referring to him, he is not the Universal Champion. He's the Undisputed WWE Champion. That's much better. Name your record. It follows everything else on the SmackDown brand. Thank you, Triple H, Paul Levesque, for all the work you're doing there. But I agree with you. And Raw and SmackDown, for the most part, have gone, other than I think they're beating LA Knight a little too often. And I've said before, they need to be pushing him and Logan Paul for SummerSlam for a U.S. title match. That's exactly. Logan Paul's probably going to be gone probably until right before we get to build a SummerSlam. So hopefully they have enough ways of rehabbing LA Knight. They're going to be hella popular. But the next big thing for him is going to be that. And my last question for you, bro, is did you see the SmackDown after WrestleMania with what the Bloodline did regarding Jimmy Uso?
Yes, they attacked Jimmy Uso.
So does this mean, because so at Backlash, here are the matches. Cody's defending against AJ Styles. Cody is not losing to AJ Styles.
Correct.
And Damian Priest is wrestling Jey Uso. As much as we both love Jey Uso, Damian Priest is not losing to Jey Uso.
Correct.
If Damian Priest had a longer title run, potentially, of those two, it's much more likely that Jey will beat Damian Priest, but Jey is not beating Damian Priest.
No.
And by the fact that they've given Jey Uso multiple opportunities to win singles title that he's not done, and this, I think, will be the third of those opportunities, with what happened to Jimmy, and if you notice, Jey said, I told my brother to come with me, and the draft that starts next Friday, are we going to get the Usos reuniting on Raw?
Yes.
Okay.
I think there's going to be many, many baby steps to that.
Sure. But do you think Jimmy is drafted to Raw?
Yeah. I think they're going to be on the same show.
Yep. Which builds to that eventual reunification. I remember that. By the way, it wasn't my favorite, but it wasn't my favorite match, but my favorite moment from night one was your boy R-Truth grabbing those then Raw, now WWE World Tag Team Championship. And how awesome was it on the first Raw after WrestleMania? Talk about this comedic timing is being great. You've got the Judgment Days. You've got Damian Priest holding up the World Heavyweight title. You got Rhea Ripley holding up the Women's World Heavyweight title. And right in the middle, R-Truth holding up the Raw Tag Team title. He brought the belts back to the Judgment Day. And then that was played for human. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
But then this past Monday, the crowd just going, you deserve it. And you can see R-Truth, a.k.a. Ron Killings, being touched. And The Miz was touched.
Mm-hmm.
And Triple H was touched. And Adam Pearce was touched with that. All right, before I go forward, now I'll hush. I got a WrestleMania Jeopardy factoid for you.
Yes.
So while the WWE has all of its world titles, did you know that currently the WWE has 3 former NWA world champions on its roster? It has Cody Rhodes and both general managers, Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis, when he wrestled as Magnus, both held the NWA title when it was under the auspices of TNA.
Interesting.
Do you know who Nick Aldis is married to?
No.
You don't?
No.
Mickey James.
I did not know that.
Nick Aldis is married to Mickey James. Yeah.
Well done.
They got married when they were both in TNA. Again, he wrestled under the name Magnus. But they have been married for quite a few years, have a couple kids, all the things. So absolutely, absolutely.
Awesome. Now you have a honest ad.
I do. Are you ready, sir?
I'm ready for it, man.
All right. So my honest ad, because it is on the day of recording, it is April 21st. Bradley and I, as we've shared before, live in the state of Iowa. So I thought I'd do an honest ad on springtime in the state of Iowa. April showers can bring many flowers, but also wind and snow are bound to show. While the seasons change, our sky seems strange, and the climate is definitely deranged. The morning is cold, midday is hot, and evenings feel like fresh hell. Have no worries. Iowa weather is full of stories with countless ways to tell. From allergies to colds, strep throat and bronchitis, spring weather in our state will make you sick. To all that say, wait 5 minutes and the weather will change, you can all suck my...
Yes. Well done, Brian, well done, well done. I dig it. Now, I have a little game for you. So
let's do it.
We are getting ready to start pushing. We got a couple things we're going to figure out where there's going to be a new podcast, a new, I don't know what to call it, sister thing or spin-off of the Fandemic, whatever it's going to be called. The Fandemic MFers. Yes, Fandemic sir. Movie Fighters. And it's going to be movie fights. With Brian and I, of course, are tag team champions. We're going to start out as champions because it's ours and we can do that. So, one of the games is called Constellations. And what it is you got to connect two stars together, but at least one of them has to be part of the topic of the day. Okay. Now, we're heavily into WWE today, and we're going to see if I can get one over on you.
All right, let's see what we can do here.
All right, this one is, I want to see how many steps it can take you to connect Paul Levesque, Triple H, to Jessica Biel.
Oh, that's easy. Blade Trinity.
Okay. You know, I was more of a test.
Good job. Right? I get where you're going with that.
Right.
And I started to go, was she at an event? Was she like a guest ring announcer? And I go, oh, yeah, Blade Trinity. By the way, that movie got a lot of things wrong. It didn't get wrong with Jessica Biel's outfit. So we appreciate
that. Correct.
By the way, I want to meet the woman that you can get with Chris Christopherson and make Jessica Biel. Like, I want to meet that. That's that. Talk about a mutant. Talk about an anomaly. There's a lot.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Well, that was my game. Well done.
All right, you aced it.
I wanted to see if you're going to pick up on the Blade thing, but
of course
you would, because you are my tag team partner.
I am the people's
champ. And this is why.
Yes, sir.
When we issued the challenge.
The Emperors of Awesome.
The Emperors of Awesome.
Bring it.
That's right.
Bring it. All right. I have a game for you, sir, before we do our Better Than Us Humans of the Week. So, I have a game that I call Five Facts. Who am I? And the premise of this are I have three characters that I'm going to call A, B, and C. That I have taken their backstory, and each of these are characters that you are well aware of, and I've just talked about their facts. I have each one of them has five facts, and I'm just curious if you can figure out who the character is if we take out all the context of the TV show, the movies, the what have you. Now, because I feel these are a bit of a challenge, I will give you a hint that all three of these, we can do all three, or we can do one, we'll see how our time goes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll let you pick A, B, or C.
Okay.
But I will let you know that within the universes that they reside in, they would be an alien. So that's your hint.
Okay.
That within the universes that they reside in, they would be considered an alien, meaning of another world, another planet, from the main characters that we follow in their universe. Whether it's a movie, a comic book, a TV show, whatever. We're good there.
So they're not from this planet on whatever.
Yeah, whatever would be the primary. Yeah, whatever would be the primary group of people in the comic, the TV show, the whatever. And I will give another hint. These are all from either movies and or comics. I will give you that. They're all from movies/comics. Yep. All right. And I believe, and all of them have existed in both comics and TV shows.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay,
cool. All right. So we've got A, B, and C. I will let you pick A, B, or C.
B.
All right. So each one of these has five facts. You definitely have the luxury of getting all five, but if you want to make a guess after each one, I'm just but by the fifth one, that is your final answer. All right.
Okay.
Cool. Here we go. First off, fact number one, I am not a Ghostbuster, but I will fight a demon.
I am not a Ghostbuster, but we'll fight a demon. We're talking about comics and we're talking about movies. Not from this world. So that's going to take out John Constantine. But not from this world, but fighting demons. Lucifer fights demons in the comics and the TV show.
Correct.
And now, he is not from this world.
You are correct in those facts about Lucifer. However, the character is not Lucifer.
Okay.
Next up, because today is April 21st on the date of our recording, while I don't celebrate 420, I do love a cigar.
I do love a cigar.
Fighting I'm not a Ghostbuster, demons. But I will fight a demon. And while I don't celebrate 420, at least as far as I know, this character does love a good cigar.
Does love a good cigar. Not a Ghostbuster. Okay, give me another one.
Everyone has a price, especially me.
Everyone has a price. Not a Ghostbuster. That's a price. Let's see. All right, next one.
In another universe, hint, hint, you might assume I'm related to Wolverine. If this character was in another universe, you might assume they were related to Wolverine.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So my brain was looking towards the Marvel. It was looking towards when you're talking about the cigar. No, oh, man.
So to give you a hint there, so if this character was in the Marvel Universe, you might assume they are related to Wolverine. If they were in the Marvel Universe.
Right. Right. Man.
All right, there's one more. When you're ready, I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm ready. My brain sucks at this right now, so let's hear.
I'm curious if this will do it for you. If you want to howl at the moon, I am the main man.
Yes. Bastich. You freaking Bastich. We're going to talk a little bit of Lobo. Cigar. Very much, could be Wolverine.
And he has a long-standing rivalry with Edrigan the demon from the DC universe.
That is right.
So, yes. And because he works on contracts, everything has a price.
Right? Yep. And Lobo's one of the coolest characters in DC Comics.
And that's one where I pick. I know you're... I also am a huge Lobo fan. I know you love some Lobo, and I really hope we get some Lobo. So I know we're a little past our time, but we've got an A and a C. If you want to play one more,
let's do another one.
Okay, which one you want to do, A or C?
Let's do A.
All right. Size doesn't matter.
Okay, we're talking about another alien.
Yep, another alien. Again, alien, remember, is always relative to the universe we're talking about, but in this universe, based on the primary characters, this character will be considered an alien. Yes.
I mean, when you start off, a size doesn't matter. Instantly, I'm thinking Yoda. Boom.
Here are the other ones.
Okay.
Okay, so number one, first off, you're correct. That is Yoda. So the next one would have been size doesn't matter. Also, I am the teacher of teachers.
Mm-hmm.
You may think I'm envious, but it's just the color of my tool.
The
lightsaber.
That's clever. That is clever.
You can try to impress me, but it won't matter. Remember, with Yoda, there's do or no do. There's no try.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, My life was so bright that I even glow in the dark, because once he becomes one with the force, he glows with the dark. He glows. So you've gotten this. All right, last one, because you got that one quick. I'm just going to start up. I'm just going to go to
sing. Yeah, you're good.
All right, cool. So first thing first, I can sing. I'm sorry, I cannot sing, but you might think I'm the missing Spice Girl.
Can't sing. Not in this world. Okay, give me another hint.
My wardrobe choices are Titanic among teens.
Or Titanic among teens. Huh. Okay, I have no idea yet.
I love animals, and my bestie is a goth girl.
Starfire?
Number four, I dislike authority, especially commanders.
Okay, yeah, that one.
Blackfire, her sister's name is Commander. So we'll go through, and then so we'll go through one through four real quick. I can't sing, but I could be the Missing Spice Girl. Starfire's name is Coriander, which is also a spice. My wardrobe choices are Titanic among teens, Teen Titans. And of course, if you have seen the authentic, not from Teen Titans Go, but yeah, or not from honestly DC Titans. It's like, okay, all right. I love animals, and my bestie is a goth girl, represent to Beast Boy, aka Changeling and Raven. Dislike authority, especially commanders. Again, her sister, Blackfire's name is Commander. And then last one is every night I have an appetite for wings.
Yeah, good job. Meaning that was awesome.
Nightwing. All right, her boyfriend. All right, cool beans. All right.
Yes.
Sir, we are getting ready to close this up, but do you have a better nuts human of the week?
You know what? I think we kind of, for me, and we're going to talk about, we already talked about it in our shout out, so I'm going to go there, man. Iris, right?
Iris, fantastic. Yeah. Mine is going to be, and I said earlier as well, our boy Ron of Truth Killings, aka R-Truth. Got his first WrestleMania victory, and, awesome, you know, he saved, that's where he climbed the ladder to get those titles. Awesome Truth probably is not going to have a very long run. Miz is probably at some point going to return to being a heel. That's his, where he's best naturally. Oh, again, back to Paul Heyman. I was on one of WWE's socials because he had been a reality TV star, as a good-looking guy, that the WWE was hell-bent on making him a babyface. And Paul Heyman asked and goes, you're a natural heel. You will never be successful trying to make you a long-term babyface. Lean into being a heel. And that's led him having a really successful WWE career, a future Hall of Famer. So, again, I want to give him his flowers. R-Truth, Ron Killings, the Better Human of the Week. So, sir, let's close this bad boy up, sir.
All right. Well, you can, if you wanted to F me, you can find me, follow me, or friend me. Facebook at The Fandemic, TikTok at Fandemic1, and Instagram at TheFandemic1. So if you feel there's more of a conversation, feel free to reach out and let's talk about it. You never know who'll be that you might be the next guest to hang out with us. All right, Brian, where can we find you?
You can always find me on the book. Words are hard. You can always find me on the Book of Faces at Brian S. Dennis. Give me a like, give me a follow, give me a friend request. I always try and keep it funny and occasionally weird. All right, sir.
All right, if you want to support the show, there are several ways to do so. You can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/thefandemic. Find us on Patreon at patreon.com/PBTNFandemic. Become an episode assistant, an episode producer, a pre-venge producer like Stacy, or yes, you can be part of the con, the Council of Nerds, starting at around $5 a month, or just share the show with someone you want to make a little more awesome. Brian, how do we close up every show?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, good boys and girls, and join us on our podcast journey. We will see you in the very near future, and in the time between shows, we want to remind all of you, please remember, no retreat, no surrender, and Goonies, never say die.
All right, when I'm sad, I stop being sad, and I be awesome instead.
You're there.
Squirrels' cheeks are also their nutsacks. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye-bye.